At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Graded Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined by Andrew Barron. We will be doing the NFL DFS preview that used to be behind the paywall at DailyRoto.com. We'll be doing it for free. Some weeks it'll be on Wednesdays. Some weeks it'll be on Thursdays. I don't think we have definitively decided on which one of those two it is going to be, but this week it works out for us to do it on Thursday, and we have the projections pulled up. We're here. Bills Rams is tonight, and we got a lot of guys who project for some points. And really, my biggest point to make is we just really don't know. A lot of these spots are true. You know, you do the best you can. You check other people's work around the industry, but there are like this is like week 18 and week one are the biggest chaos weeks of the season, pretty much.
Yeah, you're speaking my language, man. I think that there can be some edge for that. You know, it's not a great cash game week. Be careful about that because we don't know. There's so much of that. But it's good to be back. I haven't done a podcast in like 6-7 months, you know. I'm a corporate guy just pushing buttons, pushing pencils. So nice to be back around. Already had to spend half the morning dealing with somebody trying to fix the NFL sheet and possibly breaking the whole thing, but we're gonna have a good season, man. Glad we can get our first roast out of the way, and yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, we got Tanner Gentry in there where he's not supposed to be, and sometimes you just need a hard refresh, a reminder to everyone using the free Daily Roto Optimizer this year. Sometimes a hard refresh is your best friend. So
it is always, guys, the first option.
So on this show, we are just going to go through, if you go to dailyroto.com/NFL lineup optimizer, we're just going to go through the games in the order they are there, beginning with Indianapolis and Houston, which actually has three really interesting plays in it. You would not think that, but Jonathan Taylor is projected for the second most points at running back. Michael Pittman is projected for the highest ownership at wide receiver. If you kind of just look around, I mean, it's close between Jefferson, Chase, and Pittman. And then we have Damian Pierce, who I think a lot of the time would have ended up being kind of chalky, you know, one of the late risers. We have him as the fifth best running back value at 4,800, but doesn't feel particularly needed as of right now. It looks like there's going to be enough value. But, you know, I mean, again, if Pierce holds at single digit, 10%, 11% ownership, I mean, he could also be like a fairly strong play.
Yeah, Pierce definitely checks all the boxes for sort of like, you know, your cash game kind of situations. You want that cheap guy that looks like he's going to be the top dog. I mean, they have a terrible team total. They might be a terrible team, but we shall see. Indianapolis is pretty strong in the trenches, which makes it tough to get sort of the bigger plays going. A lot of the time, there's not necessarily going to be that can slow the game down when they're on offense and make it a little bit harder to get the time you need to make a big play when you're on offense, as in Houston. But yeah, I don't hate him. I think as far as Pittman goes, it does look like he will be the most popular wide receiver. Talking Wednesday, Thursday, this is actually a housekeeping note that's probably worth mentioning. I think usually we're going to end up doing it Thursday because the later in the week, the more information my Pion algo has. So the better the ownership projections are going to be. And this podcast is going to replace the Sims article that I've written for the last couple of years. So I had some people asking me about that, but we're going to try to cover a lot of that stuff on here. So the better ownership info we have, the better that's going to be. And that tends to be later in the week. Yeah. So I do think Pittman looks to be like pretty silly chalk. I mean, it's one of those situations. We don't know. Like, could he Is he the most likely guy to take over the alpha role in Indianapolis? Yeah, absolutely. Do we know that he's going to be like a 30% target share guy? No, we don't. And do we know if Matt Ryan's good? You know, like, this is what, 3 years in a row that they got, like, they picked up for very cheap a formerly quite good quarterback. 0-2 so far.
No, Rivers was good. Rivers,
yeah,
I mean,
he was okay, but fantasy-wise, it wasn't what he wanted.
Wentz was a fail. I mean, Pittman finished wide receiver 13 last season, but he stayed healthy, and he had 1-2 touchdown game, but the spike weeks weren't super massive. The reason why you would maybe not be jamming Pittman with a puny, I do think you just probably play him in cash.
Oh, sure,
but
yeah.
I think the reason you would not jam him with impunity in tournaments is you have Smith-Schuster sitting right there. You have Marcus Valdes-Scantling sitting right there. Oh, yeah. Robert Woods, you know, MVS, Sammy Watkins, Rashad Bateman. Like, there are lots of guys very close to him in salary who have similar range of outcomes. And then, honestly, Jonathan Taylor, I mean, he probably goes for 27 or whatever, but I just am riding or dying with McCaffrey. I think that if their projected ownership is similar, I think you just play McCaffrey regardless.
Yeah, McCaffrey looks a little bit more popular so far. I think that makes sense because McCaffrey, obviously, when he is healthy, is an incredible player. Just he probably is not going to stay healthy the whole year. But I don't know. That's true of most football players, really. I mean, it's a dangerous sport. You get hurt a lot. Running back especially has a particularly high attrition rate. I don't mind some Taylor in tournaments, as kind of a way to get off of Pittman. There are a couple high-priced receivers that are going to be quite popular that I think aren't necessarily fades, but I found some good leverage spots off of them. So I will have some lineups where I can afford a pretty big running back. Generally, I think I'm going to be looking towards Derrick Henry more than Taylor, just as he looks to be like hardly owned at all, and I think the situation is just as good. But don't really hate Taylor. It's just this game, it is a very good cash game. I think it's probably pretty low variance. I'm not super worried about this game just like crushing me and Taylor putting up 40 points or Pittman putting up 32 points. So I will probably be under in tournaments if both of those guys are that 20%. Just because it's also a huge slate, right? Week one, we don't have buys yet. It's 13 games. So
right.
Anybody that's 20% is overowned, honestly.
Yeah. And we have also Brandon Cooks, who our projections always kind of like, because his target share is so massive, but I'm just not really into it. I mean, they're for the same reasons I'm not really that in to jamming Pittman. I like some of these guys with wider ranges of outcomes.
Cooks is fairly wide range though, just because he's so fast. Like he will have those spike weeks. So like I can see it. I don't mind like the Taylor Cooks mini correlation, but I'm not looking to make a stand on Brandon Cooks this week for sure.
Yeah. So sneakily, the next game, Philadelphia at Detroit, Philadelphia 26-point team total, Detroit 21-point team total. This is actually the third highest total of the main slate, which you would not think of looking at these two teams. Detroit adds guys, Hawkinson and Swift are healthy. Philadelphia adds AJ Brown. No one from this game like projects as a super good value, but I do think, and I mean, other than Hurts, right? Hurts is most owned smash, quarterback, yeah. Highest value quarterback, total smash.
Optimal.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Which is like, you just play him in cash. But I do feel like AJ Brown, Devonta Smith, Dallas Goedert, and then the Detroit bringbacks, Amon-Ra St. Brown, DJ Shark, TJ Hawkinson, and Swift is hitting some optimals as well. But those Lions pass catchers are not, I don't think, going to be a big part of people's lineup construction. Like more people, I bet, play naked Hurts than they do stacked Hurts with a bring back.
Well, I don't know about that in tournaments. Like everyone stacks something in tournaments, but we'll see. I mean, certainly in cash, yeah, you can play Hurts on his own. I think that's totally fine. That's more of like a head-to-head thing than a 50-50 thing, because Hurts has bad games too. You know, he's not like the safest guy in the world, but highest optimal percentage quarterback. He runs like crazy. We'll see. Like, Philly's got such a good offensive line. So does Detroit, for that matter. Both of these teams are bad defenses, so they should, you know, it's a salubrious environment for them to be like doing what they want to do. It could be a little bit different, right? We've brought in AJ Brown for Philly. Hurts, they made a concerted effort to try to get him to throw more in the preseason. Who knows what that actually means, but obviously they need to know if he is going to be like an NFL starting caliber quarterback. Like, he, to be clear, like, as good of a fantasy player as he was not an NFL caliber like thrower of the football last year. So I think they need to find out if that's the case, because they've got a really good roster.
Well, that's the whole theory, is that like that's why they did the AJ Brown trade, you know, so that they could be like, you know, you're not throwing to Greg Ward and Jalen Reagor. Like, you got this year to figure it out. And if you don't figure it out, we are moving on. I think I just talked myself into one single entry team using Hurts, AJ Brown, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think that feels pretty, I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown in particular, like, we could be really low on his target share. I think I only have him at 20. Yeah, I have him at 24%, but he could pretty easily be a 28. He could be a 28% guy before Jameson Williams gets back.
He was at the
back.
End of the year, but 20, I mean, 24 and a half is pretty hefty anyway. So, but yeah, I'm with you. I think St. Brown is certainly a high ceiling play. Hawkinson looks to be not particularly high owned. I do like, I don't know, this sounds a little dumb, but like, I sort of think I prefer, like, in giant field tournaments, I think I prefer Hurts with Smith or Goddard to get the savings, and that's going to be weirder. I think Jalen Hurts is generally someone you want to single stack.
I mean, Smith will be less owned too, for sure.
Absolutely. That's what I mean. It's not like, obviously I think AJ Brown and Hurts is the highest likelihood to do well scenario, but we don't totally know, you know. And Devonta Smith, maybe he really crushes with all the attention going on to the other, you know, going on to AJ Brown. So it's conceivable. Detroit does have like the one really, or like, high draft capital corner that they took a couple of years ago. I don't think he's been great so far, but like, you know, he's young enough that he could do better. Maybe if he's really going after, well,
he's
AJ
supposed
Brown
to be really good.
Jeff
Jeff Okuda is supposed to be really good, and like, they threw him on an island, so who knows? But yeah, I mean, it. And then, I mean, Swift, I guess Swift is sort of interesting just because he projects very well, but does not project to be real owned. Like, we have him as the number six value running back, but, you know, Barkley, JT, Kamara, like, all those guys are going to pull more ownership than him. And if it does transition, like, from being a 50-50 with Jamal Williams to him being 60-30, 65, or 65-35 or whatever, like, something like that, like, he could like actually smash, especially if he has like a 17% target share.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think that's the big thing to notice, is like, we have him at like 12% market share targets. And last year it was like, there were a bunch of games where he got like two targets, and then didn't he have some like just insane, like 15 target games. I feel he's like pretty wide as far as that goes. So, and when Amon-Ra St. Brown took over, I do believe his target share fell off quite a bit. So we'll see there. Chark is a little bit interesting. Like, what a good downfield threat, but Jared Goff is not.
I mean, he could get there. He could get there on four throws if he makes the right throws. Yeah. Okay. Next game, Baltimore, Jets. I mean, Lamar obviously projects amazing. If you want to talk yourself into one of Mike Davis, Kenyon Drake, or Justice Hill, like, I have no insight to give you on that. Without J.K. Dobbins, one of them could be a very good play. I am not going there. The team could run for 300 yards, and all three guys could get work. You know, like, none of them could end up being optimal, or I could just be wrong, and Mike Davis is going to get 21 touches, but I just have no idea.
Right, bro. But this is, I mean, for MME, if you're like running a couple hundred lineups, like, again, Davis, you're more of a smaller entry, you know, three max kind of guy. I tend to be like, all right, well, I can make 150 here. I can make 300 here. So I want to get over, especially on Mike Davis, and probably on Kenyon Drake too. I don't think he'll be like played at all, but this is the biggest favorite on the slate. The Jets have a brutally bad run defense. At least they did last year. I mean, I know they were hurt a little bit, but I don't see a ton of like talent infusion going on there. So I think Baltimore is going to run a lot and be successful doing it. So very into that. Lamar is the second highest optimal probability quarterback on the slate. That will not change until further notice.
And he won't be jammed. Well, he won't be jammed either, because the Hurts is
hard to stack.
Hurts is more appealing. And then even for an expensive quarterback, Mahomes is way more appealing for stacking.
Right. Yeah. Because Mahomes doesn't cost you an arm and a leg to stack this year, which is, that's an interesting discussion we'll get to in a few games here. But yeah, I like Lamar quite a bit. Single stack him with Andrews or with Bateman. Like, who knows what's going on there? But I think Mike Davis, if he holds this like 3-5% P-own, like that's a smash to me. I want to be like triple that for tournaments just because I think the ceiling is pretty damn high there. Like this is just a huge, huge favorite. So, great running team, and the Jets are a really bad defense. So let's do it.
And then on the Jets, I mean, they all project like shit, but the one thing is that, and I can't really explain it other than that Zach Wilson is horrible, which is that all their numbers, Elijah Moore's numbers were better. Michael Carter's numbers were better. They were all better when Flacco played, when Josh Johnson played, when Mike White played. You could see Elijah Moore getting like 13 like dump offs or whatever in this game because the Jets just can't run at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's the clear bring back. I'm not really interested in trying to like even take a ton of other stabs with the Jets. I think it's, you know, my Lamar stacks are largely going to have Elijah Moore. Some of them just, I don't like force a run back necessarily. I usually just bump the key boost. So like, I'm okay with just Lamar and Andrews and that's it from this game. But if I'm running it back, it's mostly going to be with Elijah Moore. I do want to get into, because you say we don't know, what do you think we know about Breece Hall and Michael Carter?
I mean, I think that it's pretty likely that Michael Carter is going to play 55% of the snaps here.
Yeah.
Especially out the gate.
I'm with you, dude. Like, Breece Hall, like, what was he, a first round pick? I know he was pretty high.
They traded up for him in the second round.
Okay. And his athletic scores are insane. Like, he looks like he could be really, really good. But if he's, I don't know. I'm just like a little bit nervous about that. Carter flashed some crazy receiving upside last year. So I kind of think he's going to be like 1-2% owned and might as well get over that a little bit, but it's pretty rough. This is not a good total. This is not a good team. Joe Flacco, it's not that good. So it's Eli Moore as the run back. I'm probably like off Breece Hall entirely. It doesn't feel great to say, but Carter, I think, is a little more interesting if you want some Jets running back situation.
Yeah. And then I mean, I guess I would say maybe you could throw a dart on like Duvernay or Proche or whatever. If you're doing like a massive, massive MME set, I would not consider those guys at all. I think Lamar naked is probably better than, because there are so many good value wide receivers this week, but you know, whatever you want. The Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cincinnati Bengals. We have all of the big Bengals, Mixon, Chase, and T projected as values. Burrow double stacks. Like, I don't know. I think maybe if you just went into the season and you were like, I'm just going to do every single week in the $100 spy, I'm going to double stack Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, and T Higgins, you probably get like two really high finishes at some point.
Sure.
Steelers bring backs. Deontay Johnson might not play. That obviously would make Claypool and Pickens slightly better plays. Pat Freiermuth a little bit a better of a play. Maybe the most interesting wrinkle in this game is you don't see $6,400 Najee Harris at that often. He got way more expensive than that last year.
Mm-hmm.
Don't really think they're going to pull him off the field for Jalen Warren. You know, I think I have him for a 14% target share. That could be low, honestly, in this game, especially if Deontay doesn't play. And he doesn't, he's going to be way less popular than Saquon, who everyone loves.
Yeah, I think that's true. Najee, I hadn't really wanted to go there. I'm a little scared of Pittsburgh in general to start the season. But yeah, we don't know. Trubisky definitely had some really good games. He has a couple millionaire maker winning games on his resume. So
that's true.
Crazier things have happened. Chase Claypool certainly has. That guy is just an absolute monster touchdown dude. I've been doing, as building out a pretty diesel database for us most of the summer for NFL, and I'm pretty excited. I'll keep you guys posted as far as when that becomes like a public situation for Sports Grid. But Chase Claypool, like, this is not particularly scientific, but just I took a lot of combine info and just put everyone in percentiles.
He's an alien.
Things. It's ridiculous. Like, he is legitimately, including, you know, it's height, weight, the 40 time, the vert, all of that stuff. He is like the number one wide receiver freak athlete of the last 12 years, like ahead of Julio Jones. It's it's nuts. So I
and he's playing in the slot now.
Yeah.
Which is like just that gives him two layup throws a game he would not have gotten when Deontay or Juju was playing there.
Right. And it's either going to be linebackers he can shake in a second or nickel corners that he has 45 pounds on. So it's a really good spot. So George Pickens, we don't know what's going on with him. He's a new guy. We'll see. But again, you know,
it's hard to tell. He's got that dog in him. George Pickens is going to lead the NFL and got that dog in him. I actually think he's an interesting spot this week. What about, who do you have between Jefferson and Chase? Who do you prefer?
Well, it's funny you should say that. I think I prefer Jefferson slightly, but what I do want to make the case for, because those that don't know me, this is the case I make, which is, what's your favorite play? What's the best play? Here's why it's maybe not. Listen, Jamar Chase, excellent, excellent player. Unbelievable rookie season. So good. You know, just absolutely broke stuff apart. Do I think Jamar Chase to Joe Burrow for this game is the higher chance to, like, absolutely smash? Of course I do. Like, if you're giving me, if I'm making a bet with even odds, obviously I'm taking the Chase side versus his teammate T. Higgins. But Higgins is $1,000 less on DraftKings, and he's going to be half the ownership. And we have them at like 28.5 to 22.5 for the target difference. It was 24.1 to 23.6 on the season last year. So, like, Higgins gets his, and Chase is the more explosive player, and I get it.
Yeah, average distance of Chase. Average distance of Chase's touchdowns last year was over 30 yards. Like, he just you just can't stop him in the second level.
Yeah, for sure. And like, that's not particularly sustainable usually, or it's less sustainable. No. So I do like T. T is a weird one. You want to talk about got that dog in it. That guy is an absolutely brutally bad athlete, but he wins a lot of jump balls. And he gets it. So I like the idea of like Burrow with Higgins and with Tyler Boyd, you know, and just hope, or with Hayden Hurst or whoever, like, just hope the touchdowns don't go Jamar Chase's way, at least in some of my stuff. Like, I'm going to have a fair amount of Burrow stacks. It makes a lot of sense to. One should be playing a fair amount of Cincinnati stacks this week, but I'm not just locking in Jamar Chase into those. I'm going to play, you know, probably half of them without Jamar Chase and see how that goes. Yeah. Obviously, it's a lower probability bet, but it's a much higher payoff bet.
San Francisco, Chicago. George Kittle did not practice today, sounding like maybe it's going to be rough for his availability this weekend. So that's not great. You know, Debo. I mean, it's like Debo was scoring like a million points every game last year, and it was hard to make him project well, just because you got to be like, yeah, this guy's going to average 17 yards per reception, a touchdown every four carries, and 8 yards per carry. But I mean, he is a good play. Ayuk seems fine. Lance for $6K actually feels like a guy you can play in cash if you want to go down from Jalen Hurts. I'm not playing any Bears. Ooh, not playing Fields. No, he in his two starts last year, he averaged like 14.5 rushes, which is just like, it's just free points.
Yeah. No, I mean, Lance is. Listen, I low-key really like this game. This is the lowest total on the slate, and I'm shocked to hear me say that, but it's a really gross total. But man, this is a high-variance situation. We got Trey Lance and Justin Fields. These are two, like, very unproven quarterbacks with crazy wheels. Like, either of these guys could easily become the next Jalen Hurts, or, you know, Josh Allen's probably a little lofty. But let's not forget, Josh Allen really sucked for 2.5 years. So I think there's just a lot of fantasy upside with these guys. We don't really know. And because the total is so bad, it's going to come in super low owned. So I wouldn't be doing Trey Lance in cash, but I would like to get considerably over him in tournaments. Debo led the league in leverage
everything,
score last year.
Everything.
Well, in leverage, certainly, because yes, every week it's like, wow, he's like 7,500, and you know, he the projection is not going to be great. But then
he always projects for like, he projects for like 16 points and then gets 30. Is like, that's just what he does.
Oh yeah, and the Sims know that like insane touchdown situation is like, it's regressed some, but it's also like, listen, he does it. So like, they know that he has the ceiling to just have an insane touchdown rate. So, yeah, Debo is of those expensive wide receivers, like he is by far. You know, Chase and Jefferson could both be 20% owned and Debo could be 5%. So, listen, it's obviously a lower probability, but like that, the payoff there is insane. So I think Trey is Trey to Debo is a pretty nice stack with you on. Yeah, Ayuk's fine. Apparently he was a star in camp. Eli Mitchell, I think, is the more vanilla route to go here, but totally fine. Like giant favorite on a team that wants to run the ball quite a bit. Like,
yeah, he could be, he could totally be interesting.
Yep. And then on the Chicago side, I mean, it's not pretty, right? It's a really bad offensive line. They got to deal with like Nick Bosa and company this weekend, but Fields puts up fantasy points. Like when he has time to throw, he's a really good downfield thrower. He runs.
If salary cap was tighter, like if McCaffrey was 9.7 and Justin Jefferson was 8.4 and Chase was 8.1, I would go there. But I just like, it's not, I don't feel the need in any construct I've made to go to a puke quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. But I guess what I'm saying is like the whole we don't know thing. Would you be shocked if Justin Fields ended up a top 6 quarterback on the year? Like, not really, right?
No, but I would be surprised if in this matchup in like I'd be extremely surprised if he ended up being an optimal guy this week. First game, horrible matchup. Like, sure. It's just like it's kind of all trending against him. I think the more likely thing is that he probably gets a little bit better as the year goes on and the coaching staff is just like, yeah, go run, like do your thing or whatever as it extends.
I think that's probably fair. Those are all perfectly valid points. No issue with that. I think it is highly unlikely that he is the optimal quarterback this week. That is true of absolutely every single quarterback. So I don't mind a little bit because if you play Justin Fields and Byron Pringle and bring it back with Ayuk, then you can have every other expensive player on the slate.
Yeah, you can play whoever you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, New England, but Miami.
Just like that game a lot more than the total would suggest is all I'm saying. I think it's a low total. Vegas knows, like, they're good at that stuff. I'm not trying to beat them, but where the payoff is high is so high for, like, how low-owned it's going to be. It's worth getting over the field, I feel pretty strongly about.
Yeah. Next game, New England, Miami. I only like Jalen Waddle in this game and don't like anyone else. That's my take. Okay. That's it.
I only like Damian Harris in this game and don't like anyone else.
I would play Ramondre, but like whatever. Yeah.
So here's the thing with Ramondre, right? This is something we talked about a lot last year. Take advantage of the wish casting, man. You know, like we all want Ramondre to be better. Listen, that includes me, right? He flashes some pass game chops. He could be better. It's a great thing, but he started going ahead of Harris in best ball. I do understand that because I think the ceiling is certainly higher. But, Damian Harris had double the red zone attempts and more than double the touchdowns last year. He, until further notice, is their goal line hammer. So, like, people are trying to get on the Ramondre train.
Well, the thing with Ramondre is that right now he probably is going to play on passing downs.
Sure.
Which is what
we're excited, right?
I kind of middled that in our projections. Like, I gave Ty Montgomery like half of the James White role and then gave the other half to Ramondre. But I could be wrong. I mean, one, I could be wrong. Ty Montgomery could be all of it or none of it, right? They could, like, Ty Montgomery could be JJ Taylor, which would mean that Ramondre's underprojected.
Sure. But as a guy with 10% of the targets, if we're optimistic here, 12% of the targets, as the third down back, who's, definitely second in line for goal line carries, might get a third of them on a team with a 21 total. Is that something you're interested in playing? No, it's the Ramondre like hype train more than anything else. I just don't like this game very much. And I think that
this game always sucks. The New England traveling to Miami game is always bad for the Patriots. They always are bad in this game.
Yeah, they would even lose when Brady was the quarterback. This was like a fairly common loss.
I guess
also when he blew out his knee, right?
The week one. The really interesting element is $6,800 Tyreek Hill is like not gonna be a touted play or popular, and can't remember the last time Tyreek was under 7,000.
So yeah, I want to talk about that too, because Miami, to me, like during best ball season, started to feel a little bit like Carolina did last year. A little bit higher pedigree, potentially a little bit better of a chance for it to happen. But everyone was like, oh, Sam Darnold's got all these weapons now. He's going to, you know, he's got a chance and let's go for it. And people were really, really into him for a while. I think this is similar. It's still a bad offensive line, just like Carolina was. Tua could be good. Obviously, I remember talking about him a ton last year.
The difference would be is Tua, even when he plays poorly, is like so accurate. I mean, he broke Drew Brees' record for completion percentage over a month of the season. Like, he completed like 81% of his passes for a month.
Well, he better be, because everyone on his team is 5'9". Like, right. This is the shortest top four, like, of Tua, Waddle, Tyreek, and Chase Edmonds. Like, not one of them is 6 feet tall. Like, is this the shortest, like, top four of all time? It may well be. And Tua's a nice story. Like, I hope he does well. I was really hoping for it last year. He didn't show much, and maybe the situation has improved. But if people are going to be on it, which I think you're right, I don't think they really will be for DFS this week. But in general, I've been quite short on Miami throughout the best ball season, and we'll see. I think this week it's like not as big of a stand as I was hoping it would be. But I think in general, I'm probably going to be a little bit short Miami to start, assuming one of these weeks they pick up a bunch of ownership, which I think they will in a game that's not against one of the slowest teams in the league.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing, is the pace of this game is probably just going to be brutal. Okay, next game, Jacksonville Jaguars at the Washington football team, 43-point total here. You know, McLaurin, always a fine stab. ETN, I mean, if James Robinson is really limited, you know, they put him out because he has not faced live action yet. He didn't play in the preseason. They could put James Robinson out there and he could be like, dude, I can't do this. Like, I can't do this. So ETN, maybe a little bit interesting, you know, Evan Engram as like a total punt. I mean, he could be their slot wide receiver. You know?
Yeah, I suppose he's the fastest tight end of the league. So I guess that's nice, but so I am bullish, I think, on the Jaguars this year. Similar idea as Miami. It's like, we don't know, but this guy's high pedigree. Lawrence is higher pedigree than Tua. And he, you know, was the clear number one pick, like best prospect since Andrew Luck a year ago, right? And he had the nut worst possible situation. Like, Urban Meyer was a psychopath. And I mean, they're still not a great team. They've improved the weapons a little bit. The offensive line's not great, but I don't see a ton of difference overall between this and the Miami situation. Only people aren't as much on the Jacksonville situation. So I would like to be over on them a bit to start. This week doesn't take much, but I like the idea of Jacksonville. I don't think this is the greatest matchup either. Washington has a
my one take would be is that the Commanders are going to be the chalk defense of the week. They're going to be the defense that people play in cash and all that. So I like playing the Jaguars defense as my main tournament defense, because the Washington football team sucks. So
yeah, Jaguars defense with ATN, I think, is a nice correlation for some stuff. You're like, okay, hopefully Robinson's hurt. Hopefully they just kill him, or like Wentz makes a bunch of dumb plays and they get the ball into 15 and ATN's in some good situations. I think that makes some sense. But, you know, I mean, Marvin Jones and Zay Jones are like really good wide receivers. Like, they're quite unheralded, but
no, Zay Jones is horrible, but no. Marvin, yes. Zay Jones has been in the NFL for 5 years. He has played on four teams. He has never had a 700 yard season, and he has 11 touchdowns on 311 targets. He is not good.
Listen, he's just running bad.
No, I will let you get away with Marvin Jones is unheralded, but Zay Jones is not good.
Well, he's a good athlete, and like the PFF grades on him last year were like, you know, who's actually pretty good? Zay Jones.
Well, he does. I mean, he runs 9 routes, so he can do that. That is true. Mm-hmm. I got no takes on this game. I also have no takes on the next game, Cleveland, Carolina, other than take advantage of CMC while our golden boy is healthy. I mean, DJ Moore, whatever, but like, this game sucks. Like, Jacoby Brissett versus Baker Mayfield, slow, lots of run. Like, Cleveland is going to end up being, other than Baltimore, probably the run heaviest team in football. They're just going to play not to lose. I'm not, you know, I don't even have it in me to give like a contrarian Amari Cooper take.
Yeah, I don't either. Nick Chubb sometimes was like the guy, you know, he would have the big games, but it's the trouble with him is he just has no passing upside. So he really has to run for 150 and two touchdowns to get there.
And like long touchdowns too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Which he will do like once every 15 games or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm with you. I think this game really stinks. I do like the Browns defense quite a bit. Miles Garrett's the like most athletic player to ever play the game, more or less. And he's gets to take out Baker, who I have no idea how they feel about one another, but I think that is I think the Cleveland defense is has some pretty good upside for presumably very low ownership because they are not all that cheap.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. What do we got here? New Orleans, Atlanta. You know, Jameis.
Yeah.
Like, if for whatever reason they do decide to let Jameis come out and cook, which they did not do last season. People remember the 5-touchdown game, but that happened on 20 passing attempts. Like, it was a total miracle. But, I mean, it is in the realm of possibility that they change their mind and they decide, like, we can't win a Super Bowl with Jameis playing that way. Let's see if we can find a happy middle between 5,000-yard, 33-touchdown, 30-interception Jameis and 2021 Saints Jameis. Like, there's probably a happy medium there. And if that comes out, Olave, Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, Alvin Kamara, like, I mean, they could score 40 points on the Falcons.
Yeah, I think you take some shots on New Orleans this weekend because that's another we don't know. And I think people maybe feel like they do, but new coach, new situation, right? They got some new players. We'll see what they want to do with them. Does Michael Thomas get back? Who knows? But like if Michael Thomas gets 13 targets this weekend, you're not seeing him below 12% again for
and you're gonna
break his hamstring again.
You are gonna hate yourself for not playing him too. You're gonna be like, well, that was obvious. Yeah. I should have played Michael Thomas. Yeah.
$5,700 for the best receiver in football. You know, like that, all those takes will be, let's just wait for it. The Gilcast, you guys are gonna be screaming at each other. I can't believe it.
100%. And Nate will probably play him and be like, you guys are such fish. I can't believe it. Yeah.
I can't wait. I'm excited to listen to that. But and Kamara too. Like, listen, the Falcons have the worst defensive line in the league. New Orleans, like, who knows? Yeah, maybe they try
and
to run a
and Kamara
faster.
Was going to smoke past 300 touches last year until he got. I mean, he already had the most rushes of his career in the 11 games he played last season. Like, he could, like, Kamara. I said this on a show earlier today. Kamara is the only guy I think in 17 healthy games who can outscore 17 healthy games of McCaffrey.
I think that's a strong point. Yeah, because they're both. It's all that receiving work, and we'll see. It could be a structural change there too, but I feel pretty good about Kamara this weekend. I do. I just feel pretty good about taking some shots on the Saints. Like, it's not. I'm not gonna have a Saint in 80% of my lineups, but it's. You don't have to go nuts to get over the field on them, and I think there's higher upside than it maybe looks like on the surface. So,
yeah,
I think that is fine. Also,
the only Falcon I'm interested in is Pitts because he is an alien and he could get Pitts is another guy who could have a 30% target share, especially to start the year while Drake London's figuring it out.
Yeah. How much are you worried about London? Because obviously my brain goes to everyone likes Pitts. What the direct leverage is London or like one of the,
I mean, he's been hurt for like the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to miss or anything. I mean, it's just like some rookies have a great first game and like, you know, sometimes they don't. I mean, it's just my
one of these guys is going to this weekend. One of them's going to get 150 and two and we're going to be like,
It's Wandale. Wandale is the one who's going to do it.
Oh God. Rhymes with Rondale, which rhymes with low A dot.
Low A dot is good on DraftKings.com. But I mean, Pitts is like, it's surprising no one if Pitts is 6,900 for the rest of the season or whatever. Like,
no, absolutely not. Can't believe you didn't tout LaVisca in the last game.
He's dead, bro. LaVisca is dead.
Yeah, I'm fully aware of that. Yeah, I don't know. Pitts, like, he doesn't look like he's going to be crazy popular. So, like, I'm actually fine with it. I can make the case against him, you know. He is probably going to see the most football guy take, but he is probably going to see the most Marshawn Lattimore. Like, Lattimore is one of those guys like James Bradbury, where it's just like, he's nasty against the big dudes. Like, no one's given Mike Evans more trouble than Lattimore, and Pitts is a similar body size to that. So you know, you can make the case against it, but if London's not that healthy, I'm more just like not really interested. It's a team with an 18-point total.
Yep. All right. Crown jewel game, KC, Arizona. This is where all the plays are. Mahomes is the best quarterback play. And for the first time in his career, you can stack multiple guys with him, like no sweat, and still play CMC and Justin Jefferson or whoever, because all of his wide receivers are $5,200 or less. MVS is cheap. Juju's cheap. Like Kelsey even is not even max Kelsey price. And then the bring backs too, because of, you know, we don't really know. Hollywood Brown is 6,100. Zach Ertz did not practice on Thursday. Trey McBride is the minimum. Rondale Moore is in all the optimals. He's 4,100. Like,
we got to talk about that.
Yeah, this is about as good of a game as you can draw for DFS on DraftKings, the way it's scored.
Yeah, I think it's pretty darn good. The thing
Arizona missing two starters on defense as well.
Mm-hmm. And they lost a fair amount of guys too. Like Chandler Jones is gone.
Their defense is going to be really bad. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, Mahomes, he's more expensive than Lamar or Hurts and doesn't have the rushing upside. So, like, I can't get there as far as, like, he's a better play than them. We talked about that
He brings more points with him, though. That's the difference. Like, Lamar, you're having a harder time creating really good lineups because he gets there unstacked. Mahomes is getting there. When Mahomes gets there and you double stack him and you get those double stack guys right, you are smoking the field because he can have two guys score 25.
Right, which wasn't even true of Josh Allen last year. Like, he had a ton of, like, 35-point games where Steph had 8 points. You know, it was, like, that was tough. And I think you're right with Mahomes. And the reason I'm pretty into it this week is because, A, like you said, they're all pretty cheap. B, we don't really know. Like, it's probably Juju and MVS as the top guys that are going to play most of the snaps. We don't entirely know. I'm not particularly into Sky Moore. He's just, like, so small. I think that's mostly the Chiefs' effect. He's fast, and that's about it.
He's not small.
Yeah, he is.
No, he is normal NFL wide receiver size. He's the same size as Garrett Wilson and Olave. He's 5'10", 190. That's the same as those guys.
That's the same as Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. That's a small dude. 5'10", 190.
That is what NFL teams want now. They have gone away from the 6'2", 210 guys.
Oh, really?
That has been a big paradigm shift in the NFL, like, the last 5 years. Because you want your best wide receiver, a lot of the times now, you want your best wide receiver to play underneath. Because the average depth of target has also gone down every year for the last 5 years.
I think it's fine. It's not the be-all, end-all anymore. But give me Mike Evans or Julio Jones over a micro man any day if I'm starting a team. But I'm not being asked to. Listen, Moore, he's a fine flyer. I think it's okay. His athletic numbers were not out of control. I think it is more the Chiefs effect. And then your boy, Mecole Hardman, I think is worth taking some shots on too.
This will probably be the game.
MBS comes ahead of him, but we don't know that.
This will probably be the game he plays the most snaps, because I think their 11 personnel will be Hardman and MBS on the outside, Juju in the slot, Kelsey at tight end, and then the running back. But, like, obviously they want Sky to beat him out. Sure. But he won't be ahead right now.
But Sky's almost a pure slot if he's that small, and that's what Juju's best position is too.
What I'm telling you is that NFL teams do not do that anymore. Like, Elijah Moore is like 185 pounds, and he's never played in the slot.
Sure, that's true. I don't know. We'll see with Sky. He definitely profiles more as that. But I think putting Hardman outside and having him run 9 routes, like, from Patrick Mahomes, those are high value targets. You know, we see it. If he connects on two of them in a game, I think it's fine. I think he's going to be super low owned. I like MBS for that reason too. I mean, I think he, same price, and doesn't look like a crazy difference in ownership. So I would rather go with MBS. It does sound like he's going to be ahead. So I like that. And then there's also the idea that KC just got beat by everyone running, dropping two safeties back, and Mahomes having all this time to throw, but not having anywhere to throw it too deep like he wants to when he's got that time. So they have revamped a few things. They've changed a few things around. Obviously, they let Tyreek Hill go. The offensive line is good. And there's some credible sources saying that it sounds like they may end up being a little more run heavy this year. So I think that...
Clyde is leverage on all these guys. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not touching, like, I've never been a big CEH guy. I probably will never touch him again this season if he stinks today or he stinks on Sunday. But I'm willing to get over the field this first week. It's a nice price. It's not crazy ownership. So I think he's totally fine. And then obviously Kelce, just what are you going to do? What are you going to say? Alpha tight end. He's amazing. He's probably going to be a little popular because you have the money to do it. But
man, if Ertz does not play, this is like, I already know like my teams. Like it's so written in the stars because they are not going to play Isabella or Dortch. It's just going to be Hollywood, AJ Green, Trey McBride, and Rondale. Like Rondale is this will probably be Rondale's best game of the season, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't feel good about this 17% market share of targets you got on Rondale.
Where would you put it? Would you give AJ Green? Probably, I got Ertz projected in. I have Ertz projected in with a healthy target share right now.
Yeah, I think AJ Green will outsnap Rondale for sure. The issue, obviously, he outsnapped even earlier in the year last year when we were having all those conversations. And I'm like, dude, you know, Rondale's playing like 30% of the snaps and AJ's out there for 80. Like, they are higher value for Rondale. Obviously, he's crazy shifty. Like, get him in space. You could look real dumb. I'm a little worried about it if he ends up. We'll see how much he steams. Doesn't look out of control yet, but it's fine. It's just this game is going to be so popular, and I think he'll be the most popular bring back. And I think you got to do – I don't feel good about just being like Mahomes, Kelce, MVS, and Rondale.
That's why you do Hollywood.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that's fine. I do like Hollywood. That guy's real fast. Deep targets.
Yeah, Hollywood.
Tyler, when he gets out of the pocket.
Hollywood is the move. All right, enough there. I mean, those are very self-explanatory plays. The next game is the second highest total game, but everyone in this game, Las Vegas and the Chargers, is projected in the single digits other than Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I really like the Chargers a lot this week too. They have some pretty dope optimal percentages, some pretty good leverage scores. Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, you can take the stabs. I wouldn't play Herbert with just Palmer or Herbert with just Everett, but I like them both a lot.
Yeah, Mike,
second pieces.
Mike, Devontae Adams, Justin Herbert, Gerald Everett. Lock it up, win $1 million.
One of Keenan or Mike, one of Everett or Palmer, and just like Yahtzee, let's go.
Yeah. Devontae Adams, you know, historically great Hall of Fame wide receiver. You know, I have him pretty bearishly, I think, projected for 25% of the targets. My OG projection was like 29, which I still think could be right, honestly.
Oh, yeah. What do you have in Green? I mean, it's a different guy, Aaron Rutt, but, you know, what do you have? 30? He was pushing 30 for several years in a row.
Yes. Yeah. So, definitely upside there. And then Waller, too. I mean, Waller, 5,400, like, Not that long ago, you would have bit someone's arm off to get to pay him for that price. You know, like, this guy is incredible.
Yeah, I really like Waller this week. I think he's great leverage off of Kelce. I think this game in general is pretty decent leverage off of that KC Arizona game. Waller is my preferred run back. I think you could even, you know, it's not like the brightest thing all the time to do, but I think you could play some Everett and Waller in the same lineup situations with a Herbert stack and just kind of see what happens. But I'm with you. I think this game looks pretty darn good and probably won't be quite as popular as KC Arizona. So pretty into it. Like Waller a lot. I think he's sort of the sneakiest play of the bunch.
And Eckler too. I mean, Eckler is going to get lost in the Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey shuffle, but he has the highest projected market share of targets of any running back.
Yeah, I worry a little bit about him just like running like God in the red zone last year. But
yes, yeah,
you know, like, yeah, he's fine. He could do it again.
Yeah. All right. Green Bay, Minnesota. To be honest, I mean, Sammy and Justin Jefferson are the plays to me here. That's all.
Sammy. All right. Talk to me about Sammy.
Well, he's their best wide receiver, and Allen Lazard might not play. Robert Tonyan might not play. The other guys are rookies, right? It's Cobb, Watkins, Watson, Dubes. But yeah. if Lazard doesn't play, Watkins is clearly their best boundary wide receiver, and Rodgers prefers to throw the boundary.
How do you feel about Dubs?
I think that the Dubs stuff is very overblown and that he's going to play like 17 snaps in this game, probably.
I I'm a little bit with you. Like, I get it. But, yeah, he started creeping up to, like, 110 in best ball.
I mean, teams famously, just, like, they give first-round picks, which Christian Watson was the 34th overall pick. Like, that guy's going to get so many chances to prove that he is good.
So that's the dude. And, like, I wouldn't do it this week because he hasn't played at all, right? He missed the entire
season. That's why Watkins is the guy, because he's healthy. And, I mean, like, yeah, he sucked ass last year, but there's an extensive sample of Watkins being at least a decently capable NFL wide receiver.
Yeah, when he's healthy, he usually can have a few good games before he completely falls off the cliff. But, yeah, Watson, I'm not going to do it this week, but that guy, I think, is going to have some 30-point games this year. So I want to be over him early and often moving forward. But that's fine. I mean, can you talk yourself into Cobb? Like, he's going to have to be out there.
I can definitely talk myself into Cobb. I can also talk myself a little bit into Dalvin. I mean, he owns the Packers. He averages like 23 points per game against the Packers or something. But also, I mean, anytime you have an elite running back who just spent all summer going in the first round of best ball drafts, who's then going to be 7% owned or whatever, like, that's probably, like, he can, I don't know, he's 40, 60, you know, he's plus 140 to outscore Jonathan Taylor or something like that.
Oh, not even. Yeah. That's absolutely a valid call with that. And then same for Aaron Jones. Like, that's the guy who, like, has absolutely just destroyed stuff when Davante Adams is missed.
I mean, you want to talk about target shares I had to tone down. I mean,
yeah.
I could arguably project Aaron Jones for an Eckler, like 21% target share.
Yeah, I think you could. And it's weird. Like, he actually does get target, like, it's that red zone lock in too that Rodgers does. So I think there is the, you know, was it four total touchdowns or four receiving? I feel like he had a four receiving
touchdown. He had a four touchdown game last year, but I don't remember how many of them were receiving versus rushing.
Okay. It must have been 2-2. But yeah, Aaron Jones just crazy high ceiling all the time. So I'm definitely down with that. And then, you know, I'm going to have to do this. The similar argument to Chase and Higgins, but actually I think even a little bit stronger, is that Adam Thielen is $2,400 less than Justin Jefferson. He's going to be a quarter of the ownership. Yeah. And historically, when they both play, it's not variance. Thielen gets many more red zone looks when they're out there together. He is their red zone weapon. He's kind of a glorified tight end. Like, he's not burning past people, but he's got great hands. He makes good cuts. Like, there's a reason he has, like, double the last year. I think, Greg, we had a bet on that, I believe. And Jefferson was starting to catch up for sure. But Thielen missed a bunch of time.
Irv Smith coming back, I think, could be bad for Thielen's red zone stuff, though.
Yeah, potentially. But either way, like, that's bad for Jefferson's too. And Jefferson's going to be 20% on. So it's more talking about leverage off of him than anything else. And I think Thielen and Cook are pretty attractive ways to approach that. Like, Thielen does get a ton of red zone looks and scores a lot of touchdowns. That's not random.
Yeah. And then the final game, the New York Giants at the Tennessee Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? There's rumors now that Tony is just going to get benched because the coaches hate him, which is, like, I don't know. You could kind of understand that because he kind of seems like a jerk, which would mean that Wandale has no competition really out of the slot for 3,000. Sterling Shepard is cheap as well. I'm not going to disgrace myself talking about Kenny Golladay, who is useless. And then Saquon at 6,100, one of the biggest values of the week.
Yeah, I really hate having to analyze this. It's a bad total, and it's not a good team. They still don't have much of an offensive line. I don't know. Like, Daniel Jones, that's another guy people are starting to talk themselves into, but it's like, it's year five, right? He's not good. Darnold was not good last year. Like, we didn't have to, like, say one more time. I mean, I sort of understand Jones has the rushing upside. So for fantasy purposes, it's out there. Like, he could do it. But I don't know. If I'm going there, I almost want to be like, whatever. Like, maybe it's Golladay, right? He's the big, bigger downfield threat. Like, I don't know. I don't really care for the Giants all that much, though. And I do think Saquon is getting a little oversteamed.
I mean, he's the same price as Keenan Allen, and he's $300 less than Najee Harris, who projects to get, like, way more touches than him. Right. I guess not way more.
Yeah, it's just the thing with he's a running back on a team with an 18 point total. Like running backs got to score a couple touchdowns to like win you millions of dollars.
And yeah,
it could happen, but I'm much more interested in the running back on the other side of the ball who has got to be. Let me check here. I think he's like second or third.
King Henry, bro.
Yeah, man, dude is back. He is. What do we got him at? Third in optimal probability. You know, a bit like tier one is McCaffrey and Taylor by themselves. But Henry leads the next tier with him and Eckler and Mixon, all pretty similar. And Cook and Kamara and Jones are right there too. So I think that him and Cook are the only ones that'll be single digit owned as of this recording. I don't know, man. Like I'm about it. I think it's fine. It's Derrick Henry. Like he's one of those guys. You play him when he's low owned. Wasn't he like 3% owned against Seattle? It was like, Seattle plays slow and blah, blah, blah. You can't do anything. And it's just a bad game script, but whatever. If it's Derrick Henry, he's 3% on, just play.
Yeah. I mean, there's just there's no like rhyme or reason. It's just like Derrick Henry just does stuff sometimes.
Yep. Low own click button. Very like Derrick Henry to me is like one of the easiest players in all of DFS where it's like, there's going to be weeks where he's 30% owned and it's play 15%. Any week he's 5% owned, play 20, 25.
Yeah. I mean, I do, I guess, like, that's all I got. I mean, maybe you could toss a dart at Robert Woods or whatever. Cause if Treylon Burks really doesn't play, or if they really don't want to play him, like they have no one to throw the ball to, like literally no one on the roster.
Yeah. I kind of like Burks. Cause he's another one of these candidates for like, yeah, he had a bad camp. It sounds like, but remember how bad Jamar Chase's camp was? Like Burks has real pedigree. He's supposed to be a really good wide receiver. I think he's raw, right? He's just like a crazy athlete, but doesn't really know what he's doing yet, which wasn't that kind of the book on Jamar Chase. That's kind of the guy you want to be able to be like, okay, well, you know, maybe he doesn't know what he's doing, but Tannehill, who low key is still a, you know, top 10 quarterback. That guy has like real quarterbacks go. He's pretty good. And if he hits Treylon Burks in the right spot and Treylon Burks can make everyone miss, I don't think anyone's going to play him. I think there's ceiling there to go nuclear. So I kind of like Tennessee stacks too. Like they're 2 years ago, for sure, they were a big time team on the stack stuff because Henry was always crazy high owned. And it was like, you can get all this leverage by playing Tannehill with AJ Brown and, or.
I mean, you can just get leverage
on their other good receiver 2 years ago.
You could just get leverage by just not playing a New York Giant this week, just excluding the New York Giants and their 18-point team total from your pool.
I think that is honestly totally fine. Like I'm not going to do that because I'm going to play 400 or 500 lineups all across all sites, but I'm not particularly interested in that. I will be under on most of them, other than like maybe Tony. Like I can sort of see it. Just like, I mean, there is that nuke upside there.
Well, it's like the thing with Tony is that now he's getting the negative buzz. He was like an optimals and stuff to start the week, but now there's this stuff saying that the coaches are benching him. So, like, I mean, you know, you take that with a grain of salt.
You said at the top of the show, it's we don't know. And this is the best week to try. We don't know. So, like, go on these. If there's crazy athletes in unclear situations, if there's a new coach, like in New Orleans, if there's just something we don't know, like, people still project the same. Everyone throws out their mean projection. And that is what it is. But we can take advantage of that because a lot of these situations aren't going to be what we think they are necessarily.
Yep. All right. There we go. Everyone, dailyroto.com. The projections will be updated up until Sunday morning. And I will see you back tomorrow with Rich Rebar.